Good morning, everyone. We're continuing in our series called The Miracle of Mercy, as you can see on the screen. And I want to begin by asking you this question. Can you think of a time when you began a sentence with these words? It goes against my better judgment, but... Yes, yeah, you may never do anything against your better judgment, but my Google search for that phrase, it goes against my better judgment, found 435 million results. So I'm guessing that some people here will have at least thought about the phrase. The search result may not include the time that David spared Saul's life, a decision that certainly went against the better judgment of his fellow soldiers. The advice that David's fellow soldiers gave was the opposite of today's sermon title, I am patient with difficult people, which is our third mark of mercy in this series. The soldiers' advice had more to do with punishment than with patience. Their advice was more mercenary than merciful. They focused on how they might profit from Saul's demise rather than how Saul might profit from David's devotion. It is my hope and prayer that by studying how David deals with Saul, we might learn how to show mercy by being patient with difficult people. So let's pray that God will make us doers of the truth that he will teach us today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please open our minds to your truth, our hearts to your love, and our lives to the inspiration and motivation of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever seen a TV show called Judge Judy? I'm not recommending it. I just want to share with you the words from the opening monologue. Real cases, real people. That could describe our passage from 1 Samuel 24. Even a king needs to relieve himself while pursuing his enemy. You don't see that in every movie, but in the Bible, real cases, real people. Yet the response of David is the exact opposite. It is unreal, unnatural. David showed mercy in a situation that warranted violent revenge. It was not a great military strategy, according to David's military advisers, but it was the way that God wanted David to follow. For David was a man after God's own heart. God's nature is always to have mercy, and he wants us to reflect his nature. The Bible says, "Be merciful as your Father is merciful." And our third mark of mercy is to be patient with difficult people. Well, let's review how this incident between David and Saul occurred. How did Saul become such a difficult person in David's life? Saul was the first king of Israel, and that's a pretty big deal. He was anointed to be king by Samuel, the last of the judges of Israel. This means that Saul had been given his regal role by God himself. To go against Saul was not only treason, it was also blasphemy. But Saul had not been a great king. He had trusted in himself and not in God. 1 Samuel 13 from verse 13 says, Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. The Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom will not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him to be ruler over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." Saul deliberately disobeyed God several more times before we read this in 1 Samuel 15. The Lord was sorry that he had made Saul king over Israel. Saul then secretly anoints David to be the next king. Yet Saul remains on the throne for another 15 chapters. At the end of the first book of Samuel, chapter 31, Saul finally dies. David was waiting all that time, knowing that he would be the next king. David was the youngest of eight sons born to Jesse from Bethlehem in Judea, a town that comes back into history a little bit later on, you might remember. When Samuel came to anoint David to be king, David was a shepherd boy who would play his lyre or harp in the fields to calm his flock. It was this musical skill that gave David his first job of royal pacifier whenever Saul was tormented by an evil spirit. This is what we read in 1 Samuel 16, verse 21. Saul loved David greatly, and David became his armor bearer. After that, David kills Goliath and becomes a successful military commander and national hero. In fact, in 1 Samuel 18, verse 7, the women sang to one another as they made merry, saying, Saul has killed his thousands and David his ten thousands. In that same verse, it says Saul was very angry, for this saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David ten thousands, and to me they have ascribed thousands. What more can he have but the kingdom? So Saul eyed David from that day on. The very next day, Saul tries to pin David to the wall with a spear. Many times Saul sent David into battle against the Philistines, hoping they would kill David. Then Saul offered his daughter Michal to David with the simple bribe price of just 100 Philistine foreskins, hoping that David would be killed while getting them. Are you beginning to understand that Saul has become a difficult person in David's life? David ends up fleeing from Saul in 1 Samuel 21, and Saul chases David from pillar to post up and down the country, stopping only to defend Israel against those attacks from the pesky Philistines. Returning from one such battle, Saul takes 3,000 hand-picked warriors and resumes his search for David. This has become Saul's obsession. Like Putin, Saul would not give up until he had achieved his goal. One mistake from David, and Saul would have his head. And we all have difficult people in our lives, but hopefully none of them want to separate our head from our shoulders. But how do we show mercy to them, to these difficult people? Remember our definition of mercy. A, withholding from people what they do deserve, and B, giving to people what they don't deserve. David has the chance to put an end to this horrible life of being on the run. But as we heard in our reading, David chooses to show Saul mercy. David didn't wait for Saul to apologize before he acted in love towards him. He put his own life on the line to make it possible to reconcile with his enemy. He put his own life on the line to make it possible to reconcile with his enemy. Does that sound familiar? David was a man after God's own heart. He was like God. And what do we read about the attitude of God's Son and about God towards us? Romans 5:8. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life? Can you not see that we are the difficult people with whom God has to deal? We are the enemies upon whom God chose to show mercy. Saul enters the very cave where David is hiding, and David refuses to take his revenge. Revenge is the Lord's. But how does he do it? What is his secret? Let's look at Rick Warren's advice on how to deal with difficult people. It all revolves around being patient with them. And we have 5 points that Rick Warren has given us, which would be on the screen. Firstly, look behind their behavior. Look behind their behavior. Hurt people often hurt people. And we can see that in Saul's own life. He was humiliated when God rejected him as king. He was humiliated when David was praised for his military success. He was humiliated when his own son Jonathan preferred David's friendship to his father's. Saul was lashing out in anger and envy, and it made him a difficult person. I've often said, what people say or do to you tells you more about them than it does about you. Understanding a person's story helps you to show mercy. So the second point is refuse to be offended. Refuse to be offended. Don't be controlled, take control. Rather than give up his free will and allow Saul to control his emotions, David took control and chose to conform to God's standard of behavior. We can diffuse the power of the difficult person by directing our thoughts to God. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul tells two difficult people to stop fighting with each other. He tells them to rejoice, to be gentle, to pray, and to let God's peace that passes understanding guard their hearts. He tells them to refocus, to stop looking at each other and the problem, and to start looking to God and his mercy. Philippians 4, 8 and 9 says, "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and heard and received and seen in me, and then the God of peace will be with you." Refuse to be offended and choose to be uplifted. A third point is one of Rick Warren's famous American sayings, cut them some slack, or make allowances out of love. Again, from Ephesians, and you'll see that in all the letters Paul writes to the churches, the similar theme carries through. Ephesians 4, 1 to 3. "I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And here's a phrase I came up with this morning. Instead of giving someone their just desserts, just give them dessert. Instead of giving someone their just desserts, just give them dessert. Our fourth point is refuse to gossip about them, for gossip destroys relationships. Not only did David refuse to say or do anything against Saul, the Lord's anointed, he would not allow his soldiers to entertain such thoughts or actions either. Everything he did had the purpose of removing any obstacle to reconciliation. David was more than just patient with a difficult person. He was merciful, for mercy opens up an avenue, an opportunity for relationship. He did not give Saul what Saul deserved, but rather he showed Saul respect, which he probably didn't deserve. Romans 12:14 says, "Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them." Romans 12:17, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." Romans 12:21, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And gossip is not good, and it does no good for anyone. Our fifth point is refuse to play their game. Don't engage in the drama. They want you to come down to their level and get all involved and heat it up. Don't refuse to play their game. Don't engage in the drama. Show restraint. Proverbs 16:32 says, "One who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and one whose temper is controlled than one who captures a city." Proverbs 12:16 says, "Fools show their anger at once, but the prudent ignore an insult." Here's another phrase I came up with. When we emotionally fight fire with fire, we escalate the conflict and increase the destruction. When we emotionally fight fire with fire, in other words, do what they do to us, but worse, we escalate the conflict and increase the destruction. What David did extinguished the flames of hatred and offered a hand of friendship. As a result, Saul wept aloud, so that all could hear, and said to David, You are more righteous than I, for you have repaid me good, whereas I have repaid you evil. Now, this is a desirable outcome for such a dysfunctional relationship, but there is no guarantee that it will last. The leopard may not be able to change its spots. In fact, two chapters later, Saul again hunts David down, and David again spares Saul's life. David shows us that while forgiveness is possible, trust needs to be regained. In 1 Samuel 24:22, the end of our passage this morning, then Saul went home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. I cannot guarantee that any conflict you have with a difficult person in your life will end well. While we cannot control the way difficult people treat us, we are in control of how we treat difficult people. The world will always have its difficult people, and at some point, we will be that difficult person in the life of someone else. That makes the golden rule even more relevant. We should treat others the way we want to be treated. So let me conclude with Paul's advice on how we should treat each other. And again, this is Paul's consistent message in all of his letters to all of the churches. Colossians 3:12. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, all the things we see that David had in his dealings with Saul. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Being patient with difficult people is a mark of mercy that reflects the nature of our God. May God enable us to cultivate that same nature of mercy in our own lives. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we see your nature of mercy in Jesus when he gave his life for us while we were still his enemies. We see David as a man after your own heart, when he had mercy on his enemy Saul. We ask that you mould us into the image of your Son and help us to cultivate a nature of mercy that reflects your own. Help us to be patient with difficult people, that we might be reconciled with them and that they ultimately might be reconciled with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.